Good morning and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show for this Wednesday, January the 8th. Sunny skies. No, this is not the voice of Mary Griffith. I'm Scott Hardy. Glad to be in with you. Mary is a little under the weather, so she's not going to be in today. But who is in and who is always dependable, it's Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. Good morning, Laura.
That's right. You know what? It's a pretty nice day out. I mean, a little chilly, but like it looks very nice out, so I'm having a good day.
Good.
Down Main Street on a day like today, you're like, oh yeah, Main Street, it's awesome.
Yeah. I was talking about this with Mekki Kosin earlier. Like if you drive by the old Board of Education building, or
yeah.
if you drive by
Lorenzo Bull House,
exactly.
the Quincy Museum, yeah,
exactly. And if you look like a little above with the snow covered scenery and everything, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
If you look at the street, that. As
it's a little sludgy at the street. That's not,
not important.
No, it's lovely and, you know, a good time to think about the amazing architecture that that exists all around town, but especially up Quincy's Historic District and Main Street. So I was thinking, now I blanked on which church this is. The one right here on Main looked really pretty this morning.
Oh, Saint Boniface.
Saint Boniface, right.
Yeah. No, Saint Dominic's. I'm sorry, Saint Dominic's. Yes, but
well,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Art Deco, you know.
Yes.
The
Tesca Design Building.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, I'm going to stop now. Anyway, that's what I came to talk about. Like, my brain's not quite on. My coffee's only half gone. What can I say? I want to kick off actually talking about the thing that you just were talking about, the Historical Society Speaker Series, because they did postpone. They were worried about the snow hanging around and the weather being so bad. So they postponed the first Speaker Series from, it was supposed to be today, but it will actually be next week. So it gives you a little time to plan. But they're doing a speaker series presentation on John Quincy Adams. It's called The Corrupt Bargain. It's about the 1824 presidential election. Presenter is Dr. Steve Belko. And this is going to be happening out at John Wood Community College there at the Mary Ellen Orr Auditorium. So I really love that auditorium for speaker series. It's the right size for that sort of thing, but also has that great art gallery right outside. So all of these events the entire year long will be free of charge, open to the public, and will be about the second Wednesday of every month. In this case, they've postponed it to the third, but just weather related. And there'll be some light refreshments and a presentation that starts at 6:30.
Yeah. Everybody who's ever gone to the Q&D Spring Show, you know how wonderful that venue is. So definitely get on out there. And it's basically a free event.
Right. It's absolutely part of the celebration of the bicentennial. You can see all of the dates for this, including all of the dates for everything going on in January, February, March in the latest issue of Arts Quincy magazine. And just there's a lot going on for the bicentennial, so don't miss it.
Name dropper.
That's right. That magazine. You get that magazine. Do you know what? This is a good-looking magazine. Sometimes I look at them and I'm like, yeah, we did pretty good on that one.
Oh, sure. There's another bicentennial event coming up here on not that far away also. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Yeah, the big kickoff.
Yeah.
So I don't have all of the information for that right in front of me, but I'll be there. So I guess I should look it up.
Yeah, it's over at the Armory.
The Armory, right.
On Jersey.
It's kind of a gala to kick off the entire thing. Ryan Jude Tanner is being a real crucial part of planning this, so you know that it will be a high quality, awesome event that will
really
wow everybody. Pretty excited about kicking off the season and being a part of it. Arts Quincy is getting in on some celebrations later. We're also part of the permanent artwork going outside the courthouse. We're doing a timeline of Adams County outside the courthouse. I personally wrote the grant for that, so we are excited to be putting that up in partnership with the Bicentennial Committee and the Harrison Monuments, who's doing part of it. So
now that's one of the two permanent things that'll
be
standing after we're done with the Bicentennial celebration.
Yeah, yep. So we've been working hard on it and excited to see it start to take shape.
Okay. When do you expect when are you expecting that artwork to start going up outside the courthouse?
Well, we can't start doing any of the prep work until after the ground is thawed. So, like, putting up sculptures and things like that, in general, you can't do it this time of year. So we really haven't got the timeline laid out, but I would think this summer, you know, I think is pretty likely. They're finalizing what's going to be on it, what it's going to look like. Harrison Monuments will put that together, and then, you know, there's some landscaping and things that has to be done, too. So
I was going to say, whenever Danielle tells you that you can
That's
start doing
does,
with
yeah.
that stuff. Yeah,
she's good, man. She's
She's very good. We talked to her about that, and basically we say, you know, after October 1st, with any types of monuments, anything going into the ground,
it's, you have to wait, yeah.
It's kind of iffy, yeah. You just wait till the ground unfreezes again, and that's when you can do it.
Right, so. And this is so long and so, you know, broad, you don't want the ground to be, you have to get down low enough to make it stable, so it doesn't, like, buckle or anything. So they know better than I do. I'm just the fundraiser and the art person, so... We're excited to be a part of it, though. And, you know, all year long, you could expect a lot from the Bicentennial Commission. Arts Quincy has a couple special things planned as well. And part of our celebration for the Dogwood Festival, actually, we're just about to announce the contest for Little King and Queen of Dogwood. So we're the sponsor of that. So we'll have a lot going on. We'll talk about coming up.
Will they have to dress as Mr. and Mrs. Abraham Lincoln for the Bicentennial?
I love that idea. Last year we had them all dressed as Star Wars characters. So you may know that we took over those pageants. We actually are doing a prince and princess and a little king and queen. And we, instead of having a pageant, we actually had video entries. So we're talking about, you know, just recording your kiddo on the phone and saying, you know, they'll have a prompt to answer. This year we're going to ask them to look into Adams County's future. What's the next 200 years look like in the eyes of your kid? And when they answer that question, they can be entered to be our little king and queen and little prince and princess of Dogwood. The entries last year were so stinking cute. And then Gem City Ford provides us some really cool cars to drive around with these kids in.
I tell you what, nothing better than seeing the king and queen in a Ford Fiesta. It's wonderful.
You know what they gave us last year? They gave us like a really tricked out Ford Bronco. Did you know Ford Broncos they're really cool now?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
The whole top comes off like a Jeep. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's usually they don't hold back. It's
that's pretty sweet.
It's usually a red. It's usually a convertible red Mustang or something cool like that.
We could get one of those cool Mustangs. That's a good idea.
Well, I'm eagerly awaiting the kids talking about in 200 years when they finally finish the spaceport on the riverfront here.
That's right. That's what I'm excited about for our prompt this year. You know, we love seeing these kids just like be imaginative, and that's what it's about. I think it's more accessible to people to enter that way. We have a good scoring committee to score each of the entries, but they really represent us well. And then my two boys will be carrying the banner, so they're kind of the escort. They'll be carrying. They're just voluntold that they're part of the parade.
Okay. I was going to ask, have you told them that that's what they're doing?
They know. Okay. They were born into it.
That's
you will be carrying something.
That's the parents' prerogative.
That's right.
To tell them, you will be doing this and you will smile.
And you will not fight with your brother down Main Street.
Exactly. And I may get you something good to eat afterwards.
That's right.
If you are good.
Last year, since it was a Star Wars theme, it was May the 4th. My kids really loved it because they were dressed as stormtroopers. So they held the Arts Quincy banner and stormtrooper face. You know, they really
well, that's had... good. That's good. And if they dropped the banner, nobody would have been hit. So
right.
It would have been perfect.
nerd. Okay. Okay. I have other things on my list. I know you got.
Tell me about it.
There's a lot going on. If you're needing to get out of the house, I tell you something really exciting coming up is the Quincy Community Theater has Six, which is a teen edition show, coming to their stage in January. They have been rehearsing this next to my office upstairs in the Oakley Lindsay Center, and you're really going to want to see it. It's very cool. It's a history remix like never before. It is directed by Brennan Shea, the education director there, and it's like a high-energy pop concert that reclaims the stories of the six wives of Henry VIII. It shows them as individuals and as fierce, amazing women, and the kids bopping around the hallway. I mean, they're having a great time.
Right.
They do a terrific job with these teen shows every year. This is one of my favorites that they've done in a good long while. Show dates are January 22nd through the 26th. The tickets are on sale now, and they're still looking for some volunteers for this one. They need some ushers and ticket takers, I think. So give QCT a call if you want to be a part of it. But purchase those tickets because it's the best thing going in January, let me tell you.
Right, right. And that you can go online at the1QCT.org. The1QCT.org. I remember first hearing about this. Mary, she was... Because apparently there is an adult version of the show, and
yeah.
it's a little spicy.
Right.
Oh, Mary was just like, I can't believe they're doing this show here. It's this Quincy. I can't. And then it was like a little bit later on, she was like, well, I talked with Brendan, and he assured me that it's been toned down. And it's a PG,
yeah, it's so. A teen edition. It is meant to be done for teens. And I'll tell you, they actually rank these scripts that go out every year. It is one of the most performed in the country this year. So it's one of the community theaters all over are picking up, or high schools are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is just one of those things that is so exciting and so fun that kids are really enjoying it. And nice to have a, you know, more of a PG version.
Sure, yeah. Sure. There's nothing that, you know, you can take your kids to and you don't have to worry about what they're going to hear.
Absolutely.
It's always nice to have that as well. So is there one more thing that you are burning to tell us about what's going on?
I do have one more. It is the Quincy Art Center's High School Art Competition. It opens January 8th.
You can drop off
artwork January 8th.
Starting today. Yes, today the 8th at the Art Center.
Is today the 8th?
Today is the 8th, I know.
What time, man.
I know.
So you may enter your artwork starting today, January 8th through the 11th and the 15th through the 18th. And then the winning artwork, the ones that they've curated into the show, will be on display in February. So we'll have a big opening and the teen takeover and all of the great stuff. So if you have an artist between 9th and 12th grade in the area, it is time to put that artwork in and show what you got.
Yeah, not just Quincy and Adams County, all over the area.
Yeah, one of the best shows of the whole year is this teen show. So absolutely get your kids' entries in now.
Mm-hmm. And if your art, and if you think that your youngin's art is good enough, enter them because they could win $500 for best of show.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to, like, get things ready. My kids both entered the fair. They did the Adams County Fair this year.
Uh-huh.
And it's so much fun to, like, work on, you know, letting them polish what they're doing and bring home some prizes. So
I'm looking forward to the entry from Alana Sievert at that show here in February as well. So.
Oh, with who?
Well, that'll be your pseudonym.
Oh, mine. I got to do the adult shows some days, but, you know.
$500 is $500.
Well, okay, fair.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at Sky. He's devious over here, I tell you.
I don't know. It's just lack of sleep or something.
But all this and so much more in that Arts Quincy magazine on artsquincy.org, and follow us on Facebook for lots and lots more.
There you go. Always a pleasure to have you here, Laura. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. You make the show always so much fun. Thank you, and we'll talk again next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Well, probably you and Mary, but we'll see.
Yep.
All righty. 9:30, tell you what, we'll take a break. We come back, we'll update you on the latest commodity prices. Our first look at the commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. It's on the way on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Well, I thought we'd give it a little holiday thing right there, so. Glad to have you along here on the morning show and the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary on this Wednesday, January the 8th. And we're going to find out now what's going on with the Quincy Humane Society up on North 36th Street. Alongside is Pilar Brumbaugh. Good morning, Pilar.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Glad to have you along. Well, I'm kind of needed to be here.
Absolutely.
So, of course, this time of year, I mean, the last time we kind of talked, and I remember the fact that you were saying that before the holidays, it's always a good idea to, if you're going to be adopting a pet, and it's always, you know, best to adopt a pet, of course, but if you were going to do that, do it before the holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because dogs and cats are kind of like little kids. You need to get them into a routine first, don't you?
Absolutely. And there was so much going on with the holidays. And, you know, really the community heard us. Thanks to this show, thanks to social media, we were really able to get that word out. We had a great year for adoptions in 2024, just over 530 animals, close to 540. So every year we're seeing that number go back up, and people did respect that these animals are not a gift for one day or one season. They're a gift for a lifetime. And so they really planned ahead, and we're very grateful for that.
That number that you just quoted, would that be like an all-time high for you? How does that rank?
It's not an all-time high in shelter history. It is a high over the last 3 to 4 years. Adoptions are down nationwide. Naturally, you have your breeders that get that perfect dog that you're wanting, and that's great. But shelters really, we saw a peak in 2020. Everyone was home. Everyone was looking for a companion, which was awesome. Now we had kind of a downshift in that. And that's going to be natural. You know, everybody's getting back to the new normal, and we're seeing that number increase, which is really exciting.
That is. That's good news for you as well, because there does come a point. I mean, you are a no-kill shelter, but yet there's only so much room that you have.
There's only so much room, and we also have to think about our quality for care. You might see an empty kennel, and it doesn't mean that we don't want to fill that, because trust me, we get about, I'd say, 80 calls a month just in people needing to surrender animals to us. But we have to look at, hey, what can we do to provide the best care for each animal that's with us?
Right, exactly. We're talking it over with Pilar Brumbaugh from the Quincy Humane Society. Have you found that economic conditions, does that kind of hinder or help sometimes?
It does.
What happens?
Okay. It does. You know, pets are a lot of responsibility for many different reasons, whether that's medical, whether that's food, just overall care. It's an extra mouth to feed and care for, and so it does play a factor.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. I know it's early in January. Can you tell me about things that you may be planning for 2025, things that you want people to get excited about with the Humane Society?
This is a really exciting year for us. So our organization was founded in 1880, which means that this year in July will mark 145 years.
Wow.
Which is really neat. When I tell people that we are one of the longest continually running animal welfare organizations in the country, right here in the Gem City. That's pretty cool. So we're kicking off this year with a 25 for 2025. And we are encouraging community members to donate $25 as a monthly recurring gift. And it goes to help the animals. It goes to help make sure that we have medical supplies, food, proper shelter. It helps us improve that quality of care. So we're going to be doing fun things throughout the year, whether that's fundraising, whether that's adoption specials, whether that's building awareness for our organization. We've got a lot of exciting things planned.
Whether you waive a certain amount of the fee if somebody comes and dressed up as Chester Arthur and adopts a pet, things like that.
I like this idea. I like that, you know, if someone did that, I would be like, you know what? Fee waived.
All right.
I love it.
Well, then, I imagine we'll just hear about this as time goes on, but...
Yeah, my plan is, you know, we wanted to kick off 2025, the significant milestone anniversary for us, in a fun way. And, you know, we understand the need for people to give, right? We see it from a very different perspective. And a $25 gift can really go a long way when you're thinking about that once a month and you're looking at the animals that we have in the shelter. So 25 for 25, it's just a fun challenge for the community, and we hope that community members will join us and kick off the year with us.
All right. Do you have a goal for that fundraising campaign?
If I could find 25 community members that could donate $25 for 12 months, that'd be about, what, $7,500 for the year?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's $7,500 we wouldn't have before. And so, again, it's just keep giving people that reminder of continually giving, whether that's time, talent, or treasure.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about all of that throughout the year, too.
Yeah. It's about $300 a year. I think you can spare that if you're doing okay and you can spare that, then the Humane Society would be very much appreciative of that. And, of course, the usual things that you'll be doing, as you know, the yearly events, you'll be doing those too. So.
We'll have our fur ball event. We're moving that to February. We'll have our Much Dread event in September. I know in February last year we did for Valentine's Day. If you really love someone, maybe a little too much or not much at all, with a donation, you could have a poop bag named after that individual that you just truly love so much. And it was actually really fun. We had a great turnout for that. And it was kind of funny as we're writing the names on all the bags. But we might bring that back this year. You never know. But definitely adoption specials. And we'll be out and about in the community as well. So if the community is looking for us to have a pop-up event or a booth where we can promote our adoptable animals and services that we offer, reach out to us. We would love to be a part of your event and partner with other organizations as well.
That's right. And, of course, you can always check the Humane Society's website and the Facebook page. You're always talking about animals that you have up for adoption. Some of them are there for a short time. Others, unfortunately, have been there for a while.
It does. It varies. You know, we can have some that are there days, some mm-hmm. that really don't even make the website. That's usually our small dogs, sometimes smaller puppies too. And we have dogs that are there for a longer period of time. Here's where our community has really shown up, though. We have really shown up to look at our overall length of stay. We have shortened that drastically from the time that I was here to present, and even really before that. But we're seeing a couple months, and overall, it's not bad. Nothing beats a home, but we also understand that not every dog is just going to be cookie cutter, or cat is going to be cookie cutter for any home. So if you have room in your hearts and homes and you're interested in adopting, now's the time. We've got some great animals.
Yeah, and I imagine it it gives you you and the staff a little bit of a time to just kind of instill some good habits into some of the guests, I would say.
Absolutely. Some of them, you know, they come from other shelters, so they're a little bit familiar. But when you're coming from a home environment and acclimating to shelter world, it is a drastic change in their life, and so it does take a little bit. But boy, every dog really makes huge strides when they're in care with some great teams that we have, whether it's our staff or our volunteers. Yeah. They really make a huge difference.
They're like, it's like anybody. You show somebody some love and appreciation, and it's like, it's amazing what they'll do.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Really, really is. So as Pilar Brumbaugh scans the roles of divorced couples in Adams County, preparing to give them a poop bag for the February fundraiser.
Now, you can send me your name.
That's unofficial. That's very unofficial, by the way. So, very good. And if folks want to find out more about everything that is going on at the Humane Society, it's real easy. Just go online or give you guys a call, right?
Absolutely. We have our website, QuincyHumaneSociety.org. We also are on social media. So that is on Facebook and Instagram and a little bit of TikTok here and there. But also, just come on out. We have viewing hours for our animals Monday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. We are in the shelter, though, starting at 8 a.m. on those days. Just we're cleaning and doing all the fun things that mm-hmm. not everybody may want to smell or see.
Exactly. But the hours, though, you're open basically 11:30 to 5, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can come in a little bit before noon. Usually by noon, everything is ready to go. By 11:30, if you need to fill out that adoption application prior to seeing an animal, go ahead and come on in.
Yeah. And if you're lucky in the fall, you drive a little bit farther north there of the Humane Society, you sometimes can see some deer feeding right there in the lots, just right there by, I believe it is, what is the intersection there? It's just north of you guys. It starts with an E.
I don't know. We're friends to all furry creatures that love to come through our yard or neighbors your areas.
Exactly.
We see lots of deer.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah. I bet you do. Thank you so much, Pilar Brumbaugh with the Quincy Humane Society. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Always appreciate it. Or coming up on 9:44, back with more on the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary at 9:45. And we're going to talk now about something that you maybe don't hear about very, very often unless you are out in the county. And then it's always kind of on your mind, and that's the health of your soil, especially for ag producers. And in to tell us more about that, Lucas Brass. Good morning, Lucas.
Scott, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you along. And folks, producers of all types, can learn more about this because you are having a get-together at the end of this month in the first part of February.
Yes, sir. Friday, January 31st, and we're moving into a two-day event this year, Scott. This is the first year for it. We're in our seventh year here, so it's been a really popular program. Appreciate everybody that's supported it over the years. We've got a lot of great sponsors. I'll try to mention them here as we go through, but we've always... You know, we started out talking about things on the cropland side, but we realized, you know, there's soil health topics that impact livestock producers as well. And starting in about year three of the workshop, we started to have some livestock breakouts in the afternoon, and we kind of gained some more traction. Last year, we have the event over at the Knights Columbus Hall in Monroe City. Beautiful facility. Works out really good for us. Great location for us. And we tried cramming about 415 people in there last year, so things got a little tight. And we decided, hey, you know, this next year might be the year to go to 2 days. And so that's what we're doing this year. So we're going to focus on crop topics on Friday, and then we're going to move over and focus on livestock topics on Saturday. We just thought that, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have livestock that work off farm. And so we thought, you know, maybe by having that on Saturday, give them a little bit better opportunity to come and not have to take day off work.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's a little unfortunate that that has to happen, but it does happen to where everybody's needing more income. And so it's a way to supplement that and still have the livestock there.
Exactly. And, you know, we're, once again, we have never charged anybody to come to the event. It's always been free. We're gonna provide one heck of a meal. The ladies at a Holy Rosary over there, they do a bang up job, and I've never had anybody leave upset with any of the food that they had. So they've been throwing a dessert at us here the last couple of years and some ice cream in the afternoon. So hey, I tell everybody in my family, ice cream is never a bad idea.
Nope.
Hopefully you'll come and enjoy the day with us. You do not have to come to both days. We've had some folks ask that, seeing that it's 2 days. Hey, do I have to commit to both days? No, you don't. Either day works out great.
Basically, it's just if you've got the time and if you want the knowledge, basically.
Exactly. We do ask folks if they would to give us a call or look up a flyer. And we've got QR codes on the flyer. There should be a flyer at just about any USDA service center here in the listening area. They should have some on the counter, and you can scan that code. It'll take you to a registration page. Let us know who you are if you want to give us an email address to where we can keep in touch with you. But let us know how many folks are coming, what day or days you're coming, and we'll make sure to have a meal for you.
All right, very, very good. So yeah, I imagine space will be a little bit limited, so the sooner you can do that, the better off you're going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, and they can call the Ross County Soil and Water District is our they're the main ramrods behind all this, allowing us to make this happen. But you can call the office down there at 573-985-8611 extension 3, and if you're not able to, you know, register with your phone or find us online. Sometimes folks will Google Nemo Soil Health, get on the internet and look around. And but yeah, we're really excited about the speakers we've got this year. Got a gentleman out of Indiana and talking about, you know, trying how to have a constant canopy out there on our soil, keep it covered, keep it cool, retain moisture, and increase biological activity. Another gentleman there on the crops day is going to talk about soil health testing. That's become a little bit more popular here the last few years, and you know what that soil health testing is telling us from a report standpoint and from an on-farm standpoint. So those are speakers we have on Friday. Saturday, we've got a couple folks from the university system, one from University of Illinois and one from University of Missouri, as well as lady from, used to be with Noble Foundation, now she's with Ranching for Profit out of Oklahoma, and she's gonna do a bang up job letting folks, you know, in on some insights as far as, you know, maintaining your herd, maintaining herd health in, you know, times of drought and, you know, times when we kind of fall on not really good grass production. We've had some of those here the last couple of years, so you know there's gonna be a lot of insight as to that. So yeah, again, we're really excited.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it, and that's been a thing. I mean, there's so much that I can ask you about. Just I'll start with the fact that as technology has advanced in a lot of areas of farming and ranching in terms of like tractors and you know, implements and things like that, now it's finally getting around to, like, as you mentioned, soil testing and knowing the composition of the soil and almost getting like your chemical degree and knowing the composition of the soil, really.
Yeah, Scott, you're right. It's we've tried to figure out ways, especially now with the farm economy, you know, kind of clamping down a little bit on us. You know, we're trying to figure out ways to maybe scale back, or maybe we don't have to apply as many nutrients as we have in the past. So if we can look at some of these soil tests, look a little bit further in depth, if we can see that we've got more readily available or organic nitrogen, if it's available in the soil, that may not show up on a normal soil test, but there's some other tests we can see if we can utilize some cover crops, you know, some crops that we're growing over the wintertime to you know, scavenge any nitrogen that was left over, and you know, put some roots in the ground, roots in the soil, to help kind of create a highway of sorts for nutrients that may be down further in the soil profile,
right,
and bring those up to that next cash crop that we're going to get ready to grow. So Those are all things that you know we talk about. They get hit on there at the workshop, and just things to think about to maybe help us you know save a little bit, cut back a little bit. Come next year.
Yeah, and of course you know with nature it's all connected. So that way if you don't have to buy so much nitrogen. If you don't have to apply the nitrogen that may wash off from that June thunderstorm, which is going to roll through and dump 3 inches in the middle of Monroe County like it does from time to time, and your neighbor a half mile away, I only got a half inch, you so-and-so. But the thing is, you don't want that nitrogen washing off, running off, getting into the groundwater, and then, you know, going down the river all the way down to New Orleans. You don't want that.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, that's... I was talking with a gentleman by the name of Richard Lyon from over in Central Illinois. He's going to be on our producer panel this year on Friday, and he was talking about how you know right now the state of Illinois attributes almost 20% of the runoff that goes to the Gulf of Mexico, and Missouri's not really far behind. And so when you look at the amount of nitrate and phosphorus runoff from Missouri and Illinois, you know that makes its way to the Gulf. It's a pretty big chunk, and it's hard for, you know, the university folks and you know, those folks that are kind of supposed to be the caretakers of the soil. It's kind of hard for them to, you know, continue to go into those big national meetings and fight, you know, or argue why it's continuing to be that way. So, you know, we see this, you know, workshops like this and you know, previously there, you know, used to have a workshop here in Quincy, you know, to try and educate producers and landowners, you know, especially landowners. A lot of this ground is rented now or sharecropped. And, you know, as we get, you know, generations that get further away from on the farm or absentee landowners that may not understand what we're trying to promote or what we're trying to see done, you know, we want those folks to come to the workshop and learn, you know, about, hey, we can do better out there to limit erosion, to limit movement of nutrients, and be better stewards of our land.
Right, right. We're talking with Lucas Brass about a seminar, 2-day seminar coming up in Monroe City, January 31st and February 1st. The 31st segment is for you folks, you landowners, and about planting practices. And for you cattle ranchers, that's coming up on the 1st. We'll talk more about this. It's all connected. We could spend a bunch more time talking about it. 9:55, take a quick break. Be back with more here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy alongside Lucas Brass talking about a two-day seminar going on January 31st and February 1st over in Monroe City about basically improving practices. And I imagine things are getting tougher with climate change because you don't know the summers are going to get hotter. The USDA has already said, and the Weather Service has said, that summers are going to get hotter.
Yeah.
And with that, you have, you know, moisture events, you have rainfall events that are going to be, they may not be as often, but when they are, they're much more severe. So that's just another challenge that producers face out in the field, no matter what they're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Scott. And you know, so some of the things we talk about with our soil health principles, as far as reducing disturbance of the soil, increasing cover of the soil, increasing living roots, and increasing diversity. Those four principles that you know soil health kind of revolves around. If we can start to figure out ways to initiate some of those principles on our land, you know, then hopefully we can make our soils more resilient to drought. We can make it more resilient to you know higher increased temperatures during the daytime, and you know those maybe more resilient on biology, the biological activity that we can start promoting in the soil with those living roots, than just you know always depending on you know commercial fertilizers or artificial means of trying to produce that crop.
Right, because as we're finding out as well that a lot of that stuff, you know, fertilizer and stuff, it's imported, and you know. Prices may change on those from what you're used to paying, too. So, Basically, it's a way to gain some sort of independence and freedom, isn't it?
A little bit. And I don't mean to, there may be some folks out there listening that are selling fertilizers. They're like, this guy is killing my business. And that's not because we do need some commercial fertilizer there to help supplement some things. But there's also starting to become more, folks are utilizing more biological additives that we're putting in with some of our in-furrow treatments or we're doing some foliar treatments, in season. And we can do some things on pasture land as well to promote the growth of our products and our grasses and legumes that we have out there. Maybe we need to start thinking about the timing mm-hmm. of some things, and that's something that, time is always of the essence.
Yes.
We don't get any more of it every day, and so some folks utilize the time they have at the beginning of the season or in the fall to do the things they do. Like I say, that's understandable, but if we get stuck in that rut of, we're seeing similar yields or we're seeing a similar result year after year after year, maybe we tweak, our management
sure.
a little bit and,
sure.
and make
sure.
some changes. And, my message, I'm a soil health specialist. I cover 30 counties here in Northeast Missouri. But my message to folks when they come to me and they're like, you're really asking for me to make a big change in my operation. So I don't ask folks, hey, I'm going whole hog here, make the change. My challenge has always been, find 20 acres, find, 40 acres or something that you can maybe do a side by side and you can treat that a little bit differently, and start to see, set up your own experiment, mm-hmm. set up a strip trial, leave a check strip of continuing to treat something the way you have, and then making a change and just see what happens.
There you go. Lucas Brass, thank you so much. We have run out of time. WTAD Quincy, it's 10 o'clock.